Welcome to Now Hear This. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. Now Hear This is a conversation with leaders in Indianapolis that are working to improve the lives of Hoosiers. Our goal is to empower you to join in their work and make a difference while informing you about the unseen aspects of life in Indiana. If you miss an episode, you can listen via podcast at nowhearthisindy.com. And thank you so much for joining us, listeners. I am pleased today to talk to Tawana Ryder, who works for Versity, and she is the Continuous Improvement Advisor and also the co-president of the Multicultural Leadership Council. Thank you so much for joining me, and can you tell us a little bit about Versity? What do you do?
Thank you for having me. So at Versity, we are a blood center, and we are a research center. We are a testing center, and our mission is to provide blood and blood products for the people who need it, people who are in need of blood therapy, platelet therapy, plasma therapy. And we do that across five states, and we have relationships with hospitals across those states who are advocating for those patients then look to us to be able to maintain a supply and inventory of blood that can be made available on demand when they need it to help save lives.
You know, we all have run across blood drives, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But can you talk about when you give blood, or when one gives blood, I should say, what are the different ways that that blood is used, and what are some life-saving ways that people are helping when they donate blood?
Well, emergency use for people who are in accidents and need blood immediately because they've sustained an injury where they are losing blood quickly, so they may need transfusion immediately. But for diseases such as where people need bone marrow therapy, they may be experiencing conditions of leukemia, sickle cell, and so when we provide blood products, we get those requests from the hospitals for what the conditions are that people need it. But we need the donors to understand that those conditions, they don't just happen sometimes, they're happening all the time. And one of the things that has been in the media a lot is the need for convalescent plasma. And so that is where the majority of the demand is coming from. Although people are still suffering from the conditions that they always had and that require blood therapy, convalescent plasma has been a big one. And so as the cases continue to surge, we also need those people who have survived the coronavirus to then be able to turn around and be part of the therapy for those who are suffering from the virus.
Can you explain what convalescent plasma is? I'm unfamiliar with that.
So convalescent plasma comes from people who have had the coronavirus. Mm. And after they have developed antibodies from having the virus, then they come in and donate their plasma. And in that plasma has the antibodies that can then be transfused into a person that is that has the virus, and that can help heal their condition.
That's really interesting. So in all the nonprofits and organizations that we've talked to since March, the pandemic has radically changed what most of these organizations do. You know, whether it's a full, complete pivot like our friends at 913 Sports, or it's a doubling of what they do like at Gleaners. We spoke to the Red Cross early on, and they said that it radically changed their plans because blood drives got canceled, you know, yes, at a time when it was desperately needed. So how has COVID-19 changed Versity?
In a very similar way, where normally we had lots of organizations willing to open their doors for us to have blood drives. Now there are some organizations that are not opening their doors at all. Mm. And they do not have employees on site. And so now it's about finding an organization that will be willing to open their doors or allow us to park a bus out front and use their facilities so that we can have blood drives. It has changed it in a way that when we would normally be able to collect, you know, a certain number of donors within a 4-hour time frame, now because of social distancing and not being able to have 6-8 people on a bus at a time, now we have to stretch that blood drive out to from 4 hours to 8 hours to collect the same 20 units that we could have done in 4 hours, only because we can only have a few people on the bus at the time. It makes it so that we have to operate with a limited staff. Our staff we have to have our staff so that they are in our donor centers and on our mobiles. And so it makes long hours for them too, when they were normally working within, you know, an 8-hour day, and now adding on their travel time. And so it extends our hours for our staff too, as well, to be able to collect the same units. We have developed new relationships with the hospitals help educate about the need for people to donate convalescent plasma. So people who are recovered from the disease know that they have a gift that they can offer outside of their, along with their own personal recovery, that they can help other recovery. So there's a lot of education that goes into this, and giving and making it so that people feel comfortable that they can come in and donate blood.
I heard somewhere that if you donate blood, you can tell that person if they had coronavirus. Is that the case?
We provide antibody testing on every person that comes through the door. And once you donate, within a couple of weeks, you'll receive a letter to let you know if you have those coronavirus antibodies.
So if somebody wants to set up a blood drive or just give blood, what are the ways that they can do that?
They can call into our organization or go on the versity.org website, and you can look up the state where you are to click the link that says find a blood drive or set up a blood drive. And if you call right in, we can connect you to a field recount rep that is in your area, that will talk to you about the requirements of setting up a blood drive, what the spacing needs to be like, what type of lighting atmosphere is needed. And so we always have people that are really on the phones waiting to take those calls. And on our website, you can learn more about how to set up a blood drive. You can become a blood drive host.
And that website is versity.org, versiti.org. And my guest today is Dr. Tawana Ryder. She is the Continuous Improvement Advisor and Co-President of the Multicultural Leadership Council. And that is her main reason for visiting with us today. So let's talk about your program, A Seat at the Table. Tell us what is A Seat at the Table and what are your goals with it?
So A Seat at the Table is a series of community-focused panel discussions talking about how communities of color are impacted by conditions that don't always get the same attention that is given, that other communities get, such as the need for organ transplant, about the need for blood therapy for people with sickle cell, and even about the type of supports that are needed for those families who are supporting individuals who are living with those conditions. And so there are three movies that will be discussed at each one of the events. So if you sign up, it's an Eventbrite event. You can get the details from our website. And one of the movies is Spilled Milk, and it looks into the life of a person with sickle cell and the challenges that they live with, and the perceptions that people have about sickle cell patients, the types of therapies that are or are not provided for people with sickle cell, and really people really don't understand a lot about what people with sickle cell experience, because it is a condition that you cannot see. And so when they are having a pain crisis, you can't see the crisis. And so so a lot of times people don't take them as seriously and really understand their disease to take immediate action or provide them with immediate care. So sometimes those people are not getting the optimal treatment that they should.
Can I pause right there and ask you to tell folks who aren't familiar with sickle cell what that is?
So sickle cell disease is a sickle shape of the red cell. And those cells and red cells carry oxygen through the blood. So when those cells are misshapen, as they are moving through the bloodstream, they, because of the sickling, they clog together and they clog that blood flow. And the clogging of that blood flow creates pain with the person who has sickle cell disease. And so that oxygen is not flowing through their systems the way they are. And so that condition can even lead to conditions that are affecting their organ functions. Mm-hmm. And so it's a long-term condition that can have all types of effects that are days long, weeks long, random, that impacts their lives so that they may not be able to stay, keep their employment because of the pain crisis that onset immediately, may not be able to complete their education programs because they are in and out of the hospital. These conditions do require that some be hospitalized during these pain crises. And so blood therapy and bone marrow transplant is therapy for treating sickle cell disease. So along with that, sickle cell disease mainly impacts people of color. 1 in 500 African Americans and 1 in 36,000 Hispanics have the sickle cell disease. But we do not have enough units on the shelf to provide them with the blood therapy that they need. Right now, only 4% of the units that we have on our shelves even have the right hereditary factors that are needed for people with sickle cell. So the ask is that people of color donate blood to keep blood on the shelves for those patients. It's so for the 4% that we have right now and in our donor base that can provide that, there are 44% of African Americans and 17% of Hispanics right now walking around with the right genetic factors that make them suitable donors for people with sickle cell, except we don't have them in our donor base. So that's the call to action, is that you actually have what people need to help them live better and have a better quality of life with blood therapy. If we can get the word out and educate about that need for people of color to donate.
That's great. And again, you can find out more about donating at versity.org, versiti.org. I'm talking to Dr. Tawana Ryder, the co-president of the Multicultural Leadership Council. And so what is the second movie that you will be screening? And will these be in person?
These will all be, this is a webinar.
Okay.
So no, all these right. are not in person. These are our webinars. The next movie is A Question of Faith, an organ donation panel discussion. And so like other gaps in healthcare for people of color, the likelihood of finding an organ donor is very limited as well. With I don't have my numbers in front of me, but 60% of, you know, people on the bone marrow waiting list are not likely to find 60% of the people that are on the bone marrow list waiting list are people of color, but we really don't have enough people of color to be a genetic match for the people on the waiting list. And so some people will live with their conditions without ever finding a match for organ transplant or bone marrow donation.
Can I ask, what's the discrepancy? The genetic difference, why is that necessary? What's the science behind it?
It's absolutely true that ethnicity matters. Just like, so when people think about donating blood, we always talk about blood type. And so, but there are other hereditary factors beyond blood type that makes a person a one-to-one match from a donor to a patient, that makes them a better match. If a person is more like them genetically, it means that the person is more likely to have a positive response to that transfusion rather than having a transfusion reaction. So you always want to find the closest genetic match. And sometimes people are not even able to find that match within our families. So we have to reach out into our communities to find those matches.
That's really interesting. And I just had a good friend who had a kidney transplant. I've had several friends who've had organ transplants, and the need to match is so incredibly important because the transplant process is so thin.
Yeah, and a comment on that. So a person already has a condition that's being treated, and so now once they're treated with the organ transplant, now they're living with being an organ, transplant recipient. And that's a whole other element to deal with for the rest of their lives as well. And so it was said in the movie, it was trading one for the other. And so either way, you have to take care of yourself. But just because a person receives an organ transplant doesn't mean they go the rest of their lives just free and clear to do everything. No, there's a lot of therapy that is ongoing to make sure that they are able to stay well and healthy even after transplant.
Yeah, the list of medications and things you can't do are surprising. Let's talk about the third movie. This is a name that I have heard a lot, but I don't know a lot about, and I'm interested in hearing more from you about The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks.
The story that is shared here is of Henrietta Lacks. Is she was a Black woman with cancer, and unconsented, her cancer cells were taken and replicated and used in research all over the world without her or her family ever giving consent. And so the family finds out about it, and the family wants to learn about the mother's condition. They want to learn more about how her cells were used in research. They want to know, because someone has profited from the replication of those cells, why wasn't the family involved in receiving anything about it? They were never asked if it was okay to do it. They were never asked to be involved in the naming of it, the sale of it. It was even renamed. It was even renamed to try to cover up the fact that it was a Henrietta Lacks cell. So they were called HeLa cells, and it was Henrietta Lacks cells who they were. And so the movie talks about how there is a distrust of the medical community because things like that happen. And over the years, Miss Evers Boys, which is not a part of this panel, but is another that talks about things that have happened to people of color where research was conducted and they were not informed and felt they were taken advantage of. And so today, when we have proper consenting taking place at every level, people still don't have that same trust to open themselves up and really believe that's what's happening with their cells, with their blood, is what we say is going to happen with it. But there's full transparency now, even to the point that when a person consents to donate blood here, there are times in the year when we have an initiative where we send the person an email to say, hey, your unit has now been called for and is going to go to this, you never give a recipient's name, but it's going to save someone's life. And so a person now even knows and is able to follow the path of their blood to know that that we have done the moral, the ethically correct thing with their unit and have not taken advantage of anyone in any way. So there's full transparency around it. And that's what that movie's talking about. people not being educated about what is happening with them in a medical setting.
So how does that play out? The misdeeds of the past and then also the present thoughts around those things? How does that affect people's real lives?
So around the U.S., it is, and you can just read journal after journal of this, that getting people of color to donate, we are always on the short side of that and always wanting to understand why. And there are three reasons why: the mistrust and people not being educated about the need. And also people will say, nobody ever asked me. And so we have to make sure that we get the word out to everyone about the need for blood. And I forgot what you asked me.
Well, just the human impact of that disconnect between, you know, there's a lot of things that as I kind of do these various shows and you there's sometimes a disconnect between public opinion around something and then the way that things have caught up. You know, that public opinion shapes some solutions, but public opinion's not there yet. And what's the cost of that gap?
Well, the cost is that people can go and have to either not get their organ transplant, or have to wait till we get the units on the shelves, so that they can have their blood therapy, and so we don't understand that it's really about understanding about that genetic match, and that just because there's blood on the shelf, every unit is not meant for every person that needs it. You know, we really have to match that up to make sure that's right. And so to me, it's like maybe everybody else thinks everybody else is going to do it, but you know, each person needs to take it upon themselves to go and extend an arm and be willing to save a life. I've seen it where if a family member received blood, then the other family members come in to donate blood to replace the blood that their family member used. And I think that's always awesome, because those people get it. And when we ask people to donate, it's not about a one-time donation. It's about, can you donate multiple times a year? Because the need for blood is always there. So a person can give blood every 56 days. So can a person get it within their hearts and on their calendars to come out and donate every other month? And it's about building a lifelong relationship. We start these relationships about blood donorship with people when they are in high school. And the hope is that if we can, you know, we get into those high schools, then we get into these universities. And when these people are out of the education system, that they then have it with them, that as adults throughout their working lives, that they continue to be blood donors, lifelong donors. And that's what we need. And so, and we have those, we just need more of those. So, you know, I take my hat off to the people who have given of themselves so graciously for the lives of others, but we also need to keep spreading the word so that people know the need is always there. It doesn't stop because COVID hit. Now we just need more of it.
Speaking to Tawana Ryder, who is the Continuous Improvement Advisor and co-president of the Multicultural Leadership Council at Versity. Their website is versity.org, V-E-R-S-I-T-I.org. And what are some other ways, other than the Seat at the Table program that you're here today to talk about, what are some other ways that you engage in spreading the word and trying to change minds and save lives?
Well, we want to become community partners, and that, you know, so it's about getting with organizations, doing things like having health fairs, having a bone marrow blood drive, having education sessions, doing the panel discussions like we're doing here, being a partner with other organizations that have a similar mission to ours. Even getting out into community. So just some things like we're doing today, we're Well, last week we started hosting a food drive here so that we can make sure that families that need to eat, particularly families who are associated with the Martin Center Sickle Cell Initiative, we're having a food drive. And next week we're going to take it all over there. You know, sometimes people have been so affected by their conditions that maybe they're not able to get out and work. And so they might not be able to get food on the table the way they did before, especially now that COVID's here and so many people's jobs have been impacted by COVID. And so we are also having a blood drive, a Bleed Blue blood drive that we have every year here in Indiana. And we are encouraging people to come down and donate and consider stretching your arm out to help support the life of a person with sickle cell. So we're promoting through our Bleed Blue blood drive. And so that'll be held on December 12th at Lucas Oil Stadium. We'll promote that on the radio shows here to get people to come out and donate. We provide scholarships for students who are coordinators. It's a Leaders for Life program where people, if they are become coordinators of blood drives within their school system, then there is a mentoring program, a leadership development program that is held with Versity. Then we give them community skills as leaders and community coordinators. And so we start helping people build their resumes if they see themselves working as community advocates in the future. So there's a lot of things that we try to do. There are career fairs that we have looking for now to increase our staff with a bilingual English and Spanish speaking staff so we can be more engaging with the Hispanic community. And so we're hoping to make the inside of our organization represent the community on the outside of our organization. So diversity inclusion on the inside of Versity, multicultural outreach on the outside of Versity. So we're trying to bring it together so that we are able to serve our serve the communities, not just by giving blood, but hopefully be a support to help improve lives in many ways for the community.
Well, excellent. I love a seat at the table as a program. I learned a lot today. And I would ask you what I ask everyone at the end. What do you see every day in your work that you wish everybody understood about what you just know to be just the rock solid truth because you've experienced so much?
I see people walk in the door with hearts of gold, wanting to help, who want to share, and they come in and they have these relationships with our dedicated staff who are here every day to meet with the community and together help create that gift of life for someone who needs it. Our staff, you know, this facility is open 24 hours a day. And so beyond collecting it, there's a testing lab that's testing it all night. There's a distribution lab who's getting it to the hospital. So what you will see in here is what I see, that it never stops. It never stops. The need is always there. The work is always being done. And so, I had the most respect for the people who are working here and the people who walk in our doors to help make life better for people who need it. So thank you to our donors and thank you to our heroes who work at Versity.
Dr. Tawana Ryder, the Continuous Improvement Advisor and Co-President of the Multicultural Leadership Council at Versity. Their website again is versity.org, V-E-R-S-I-T-I.org. Thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Now Hear This. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. If you missed any portion of our program, you can listen on our website, nowhearthisindy.com. If you'd like to have your organization featured on the show, please email Gabby at nowhearthisindy@iheartmedia.com. And thank you for listening, and we will be back again next weekend with Now Hear This.